This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with the gang back together. Everybody's here from ESPN West Palm, Brian Rowitz, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, we are full steam ahead, all in Wembley Stadium for AEW. They have real two big storylines that they're building towards. One of them is the main events. Bryan Danielson taking on Swerve Strickland in a career versus title match. Also, we have MJF, who is a former heavyweight champion, now the American / international champion, taking on Will Ospreay. So those are the two big storylines. Those are the two big ones that they are pushing currently. So I ask you to start the show today. Which story is more intriguing to you? Is it MJF Ospreay or the main event of Danielson and Swerve?
I will say it's Danielson and Swerve, and it just goes to show you when you tell a great story and have a great video package, it hooks you. Now, the three of us and the rest of our GKW audience already knew what was going on here with Bryan Danielson and Swerve. The video package of Bryan Danielson, his days in Ring of Honor, being in the Indies, being in Japan, and now in AEW, it tells a great story, doesn't it? Bryan Danielson, this might be the last time we see him on August 25th. And then Swerve Strickland, he's on the come, like, as his champion. And so I like this past Wednesday in Norfolk, how they were able to just lay out the story for all of us. MJ and Ospreay, I think, is intriguing, but the AEW championship's on the line, guys. So I would say Danielson and Swerve, career versus belt, that does it for me.
Yeah, I think the best thing for me with Danielson and Swerve is we talked last week about how sometimes obvious works in this business. There's no obvious direction with that match. I can make a case both ways right now. Why Swerve wins and it's the end of Bryan. Why Bryan wins and we get another few months out of him. There is so much intrigue, and not knowing which way it's going to go is going to make that match that much better. Every near fall is going to have everyone in the palm of their hands because it could be the fall that ultimately determines it. Whereas MJF Ospreay, I feel like, should at least go Ospreay's way, and that's a little more predictable right now.
Sure, and look, I think they've done a pretty good job of MJF Ospreay. I enjoy the work that MJF is doing, taking that international championship, turning it into the American championship. And I forget what show he had showed up to, quoting Hulk Hogan's entrance music.
I am a real American. Best show this weekend versus Michael.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Which again, he's doing some great work on television away from AEW. He's doing great work, but this is Bryan Danielson's career on the line. Like, this is, and again, I am super intrigued because it seemingly has put the entire career on the line. Whereas before it was, oh, once this contract expires, I'm stepping away from wrestling full time, which left the door open of, hey, maybe a couple times a year, we get Danielson still in our lives on some of the bigger shows, maybe at Wembley, maybe at Double or Nothing, whatever in AEW, but Danielson wouldn't be walking away completely. But by putting his entire career on the line, that it takes it to that next level. And I think we've kind of seen almost the best version of Swerve as well, where he's kind of been teetering in that tweener territory. The way he closed last night by giving, you know, that little sidekick that he does to Danielson as he's checking on Wheeler Yuta in the ring. Like, Swerve is back to full heel Swerve, which is to me the best version of Swerve Strickland, and I think this is going to be a hell of a match. And like you said, Hoodie, the video package they put together is fantastic. Like, yep, I'm hooked. Like, it's an old, easy thing to take from a blueprint from WWE, and they've done it. They've done it with this, and I am all the way in and cannot wait for this match.
And also, of course, that package uses the song that Bryan says he would like play at his funeral. So, if you're reading interviews, a good job of booking there by Tony.
There's no doubt about it. You know, I know it's not popular to say, and maybe as we get closer, we'll come up with an answer. I can't call this match. I don't know who's going to win this match. I wish I could just tell you for sure. Yep. I don't know, because on one hand, it's what I told you guys a couple weeks ago. My booking idea was give Bryan Danielson an opportunity to finally win the AEW championship. And the next match he has, if someone beats him, he retires. It's either that or it's Swerve Strickland ending the career of Bryan Danielson, because both those guys are from the same area, Pacific Northwest. I think there's respect for both of them. I could see Swerve Strickland beating Danielson, and that's all for Danielson. That very well could happen too. So I really don't know. I wish I could tell. I don't know what's going to happen in this one.
Part of that is we joke all the time, like, Brian hates winning. And I feel like Tony and Swerve right now are like, Brian, this is your chance. You're going to be the champ. He's like, no, I don't want that thing. Like, I don't want to lug that around. And they almost might have to Montreal screw job him to make sure he wins the belt next week. Like, that might be how they have to book this.
Reverse Montreal screw jobs.
So Danielson's on top of Swerve, and he just hooks the leg, hooks the leg to make sure that Swerve doesn't kick, and then that's it, right?
Yeah, Swerve just refuses to kick out. Brian's like, that's not supposed to be the finish, and then we have a new world champ.
Wow. God. Kicking and screaming to an AEW championship.
The reason, again, why it is so intriguing, and it is not obvious, because if you were going to put together a short list of, hey, who would end Danielson's career? Who would Danielson be okay looking up at the lights, his last match ever? And again, you lay out all the points there of, hey, from the same area, clearly has a lot of respect for Swerve Strickland. Like, Swerve's going to be on that short list that I think Danielson would take that pinfall from. Because Danielson, as much as Sting wanted to go out on his back, and again, everybody had to convince the Young Bucks and Tony Khan had to say, no, you're going to win the tag team championships. And then we can have like a tournament. We can do whatever. You're going out on top, Sting. Like Danielson, there's no way you're going to convince him to not go out. So if he wins this match, I think the next time I lose, retirement, Ric Flair type angle thing is perfect, because Danielson is going to want to go out old school. He's going to go out on his back. And I just think, yes, kicking and screaming, that's the only way he is going to do it is, hey, I'm going out on my back. And it's just picking, okay, who's going to retire Bryan Danielson? And hopefully they pick somebody better than Baron Corbin, like they WWE did for Kurt Angle.
Well, here's an option. I love Swerve. I think Swerve sending him out either at Wembley or at Washington would be awesome. But to play along the same lines of the hometown, what if it's Darby in Washington? And that's how Darby gets his world title moment.
That'd be fine, too. Either one.
And those two kill each other in the ring.
One thing I don't want is for a repeat of what Gabe just mentioned with Sting. Like, Sting won the tag team championships with Darby. They retired. Then Sting retired. I don't want Danielson to win the championship. Like, okay, well, I'm going to retire the championship and then have another tournament. Like, we don't need to do that again. However,
no. Because that worked for Sting. Like, I think there are very few, like, the way that they had built Sting in AEW, that was the perfect ending. Like, it was the perfect ending for Sting, the perfect ending for his career because of the way he was treated. That doesn't translate over to Bryan Danielson.
And it does make you wonder, Brian, what happens with WrestleDream. Again, that's going to be at Tacoma, Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, that could be just a homecoming for Swerve, or is it a homecoming for Danielson?
Right
on somebody. I have no idea.
The thing, this roster has plenty of guys we talk about all the time that's so deep where them ultimately being the one to send Brian out would be career making for them. And Swerve has elevated his game a ton over these last few months. And last night was another step in that direction. The Brian promo on Twitter, which for some reason is where the best AEW promos live, is post show on social media. Yeah. Like that took this to another level. But they can go through the names and find someone that ultimately beats him at WrestleDream, and it's completely changed the course of their career.
Without a doubt. And again, I do want to give flowers a little bit to AEW while some of the stories aren't hitting. Like the whole EVP thing, as much as I enjoyed the early part of the Young Bucks as the EVPs, it's missing right now. And then to have the match end the way it did yesterday, I get it, I guess, but it's just without the Young Bucks, who maybe have a limited date contract right now with AEW, with them not being around consistently, it's hard for them to kind of keep the momentum with that going. So not everything's hitting, but I would say these two things, MJF and Ospreay and Danielson Swerve, are hitting. And I think that is the fact, again, that Danielson Swerve for all three of us is light years ahead of MJF Ospreay, but MJF Ospreay is still pretty good too. Like I do want to continue to mention that because they have done a good job, I think, of the storytelling there as well.
It sounds like, Brian, you like Ospreay to be able to win that. Do you agree, Gabe?
I think so.
I think you could really get the mega heat on MJF by him winning.
But is Ospreay losing too much at that point?
Well, would that be his second match he's lost? Third match in AEW?
Well, he lost to Swerve. He just lost to MJF.
So it'll be number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know how this company is, man. There's no rematch.
Like, right. The fact that we're getting this rematch is the weird part of it. Like, the fact we are getting a rematch.
The idea that, you know, this company, once you've lost, as Samoa Joe, once you've lost, you don't get like the ultimate, like, this is going to be a big return. This is a rare time for them to do that. That's for sure. I like this matchup too. I just like the whole buildup of MJF deciding that I'm going to go around the country, go to Mexico, go to the UK, and wrestle. I have not seen that Michael Oku match yet, by the way.
No, RevPro is so good at making sure their stuff doesn't get out there for free.
Yeah, I have not seen the match. I just saw the promo of him quoting, "Because I am a real American. I fight for the rights of every man,"
which is hilarious.
Yeah, you know, some question what those vitamins and prayers mean on the show.
It was just so great. But I like the program. I really do. Well, Will Ospreay, though, to all of us, we feel like he's could be the next world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
But like, if you lose to MJF here, don't you lose your footing? Like, when will that happen? That's the question.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if he loses to MJF. Clearly there's got to be some sort of world championship plans in his future, but also would he be on my short list of somebody to retire Danielson if Danielson wins? Because again, I have no idea who's going to win that. Yes, he would be on that list, but also it would probably elevate him the least.
Yeah. I think that's
because
fair.
I mean, he's already looked at, you know, so highly, you know, like he probably doesn't need that. Kind of like Brock Lesnar didn't need to be the one to end the streak for The Undertaker. Yes, it certainly helped Lesnar. Would it be beneficial for Ospreay? Yes. But when you're on a certain level, like, you're not going up exponentially. You're just kind of gradually taking steps. Like, you could slingshot somebody with a win over Danielson, like a Garcia, like if he re-signs with AEW, again, just throwing a name out there, versus somebody like Ospreay, who is already so far up there. Yeah, and win would help, but it's not shooting him to the moon because he's already up there.
Well, I think there's some breadcrumbs, guys. I'll put a bow on it by just saying there's some breadcrumbs, because when Bryan Danielson said on Collision that to JR that he's going to have neck surgery at the end of the year, okay, so how long's that reign if you're still wrestling? Well, he said
he's going to have to have it. He also made a point about how much he enjoys lying to people and the joy he gets out of that.
That's got to be legit, man. You better not lie to me about neck surgery.
No, but again, if Danielson wins, like, I don't expect him to have a long run. Correct. I'm not expecting him to be champion for 6 months. I'm expecting him to be champion for a month or two.
Right. I mean, WrestleDream's October, so that's right. It's like 2 months away.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I would expect WrestleDream to be the end of his run.
That's actually the good thing about wrestling, guys, that a matchup like Danielson and Swerve, we don't know.
Right.
Usually it's obvious, but in this situation, I don't know what's going through Bryan Danielson's mind. I have no idea.
October 12th, by the way, that show. The other one that's out there is the Tokyo show in January. Ugh. He hasn't done that again yet.
Okay, so wrestle and die. That's it. So just not only retire, die.
I mean, let's be honest. With him, it was always a possibility.
Just against Gabe Kidd or whoever he wrestled, like, oh my God.
I don't remember who tweeted it, but shout out to them saying they hope Bernie Danielson saw the video package last night and is rethinking her decisions.
All fair.
Yeah.
Very fair. Well, one of the most famous, you know, career matches, career on the line matches, featured Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. We are excited to kick off the three count this week, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling, with our interview with the Heartbreak Kid, Mr. WrestleMania, the showstopper, Shawn Michaels. If you are a diehard listener of GKW, you know that when we had Evan Cohen on, who was pretty much the creator of this podcast, he gave us a goal, and that's to have the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, on the pod this year. And sure enough, here he is, Mr. WrestleMania himself, Shawn Michaels. Shawn, thank you so much for the time, man. Thanks for jumping on.
You bet. I appreciate y'all having me. I'm proud to know that I was a goal in someone's life. That's
We did not tell that person this interview was scheduled just in case it didn't happen. We were waiting until it's actually happening, and here we are.
Well, of course. So you were here because NXT starting on the CW. Everybody's excited about it. Tuesday, October 1st, they're going to be down in Hoodie's neck of the woods in Chicago. right after that, going to be going to St. Louis. Tickets are on sale now for NXT as they hit the road to be part of the new lineup over on the CW. So with NXT, I want to start there. What has been one of the challenges that you did not anticipate when you first took the job as the head of NXT?
Being the head of NXT, getting the job. To be perfectly honest, Hunter went down, boom, and I had put it in the position. So that was obviously the most unexpected part of it, obviously. But again, I'll say this. One of the things that, it's a kind of a weird balance that you have. But one of the great things you love about this job is that we're kind of always ready for the fire drill. I mean, a lot of things can happen. You know, there can be a, flight delays. This happens, that happens. And then we've got to, no different than when, there was the delays and the NXT crew had to jump on a plane and fly and, and fill in and do SmackDown. Those were always kind of very nervous but exciting. Especially when you deliver on them. So that was the most challenging part, is just kind of getting thrust into this position that I, sort of was on the, I did it on the sides, on the periphery, but I was never, entrenched in it. So that was obviously the hardest part. And then adjusting to the entirely new show. It wasn't just a job, but a different concept, all new talent, all new and young and beginning talent. So I think a lot of times we see where we're at now in NXT and things are fantastic and running smoothly. But there's a great deal of pride by the young men and women that on those first couple of shows as they call it, it's dubbed 2.0. It was very, very trying at the beginning. But they were all so fantastic. They were young, green, had no idea what to expect, but everybody came together. And again, I think we all look back on that experience with a great deal of pride, because we managed to weather the storm and now we've come out on the other side, walking into this fantastic, 5-year relationship with the CW and a network that is behind us 100%. And of course, just the possibilities are endless, and then getting to go on the road, the debut, happened in Chicago, then the next week in St. Louis, Punk and Randy being a part of it, just a really big and exciting time for NXT.
Sean, the great thing about NXT is the mixture of young wrestlers that you're developing and the veterans that come in as well. Like a guy like Ethan Page, how do you assess the value of Ethan Page to NXT?
Well, look, I will say this. As soon as I found out that he was available, it was something that I started looking into immediately. Again, because you're talking about a great deal of experience, seasoned, comfortable, somebody that knows what they're doing out there. But also, at the same time, everything that I sort of – and again, I didn't know everything about him, but you sort of look at him – and you say, like, I think there's a lot of untapped potential there. And I don't know how many times. Look, you can hear different stories, this, that, and the other. You never know what's true, but you just see potential and you think to yourself, has he ever been given the opportunity? Let's just find out if he has. And again, look, if he falls short, you fall short and then you kind of get dropped, to the bottom of the car. But he's a guy, again, that we sort of, took a chance on. He took a chance with us. And right now, I think you see that it's been pretty successful. But he is, again, he's a guy that, certainly brought experience to the table that, we don't have a lot of here at NXT, but also a guy who's so excited and passionate about now somebody believing in him. And so when you put those two together, it's a great combination, because he's a guy that feels like he's got a place that appreciates him and is investing in him. And then we've also, got the experience level that we need here in NXT.
What are those discussions like between yourself and Hunter when there is a free agent and you say, hey, I see a spot for him in NXT, and Hunter's like, oh, we need him on Raw. What are those discussions like?
Well, look, the ultimate goal for NXT is to lose talent, to lose it to the main roster, for them to move up. So as weird as it sounds, that's our job. And that's something, that's just a mentality that you have to have in this. There's going to be a constant kind of cycle with us. You're going to be ebbs and flows. And that's why I always, again, and it, sounds like you're trying to blow it off, but that's why we can't get caught up in like the ratings and stuff like that. When everything is said and done, NXT is in the green. NXT, WWE, Raw, SmackDown, right now, we are trending upwards, which nobody in linear television is doing. So that makes us an extremely hot commodity. So that is kind of, that's already baked in my opinion. But we're going to go through ebbs and flows and cycles because our job is to create and manufacture talent for the main roster. And as you get these people and they get over, they get notoriety, they start to build a fan base, it starts to, equal ratings from our standpoint. Well, then we lose them, and then we've got to introduce a bunch of people again. And that, that viewership is naturally going to go down because they've been attached to these other characters. So again, it's an interesting process that you kind of have to get used to because it's not the natural. Everything else is to sustain, continue to build on the talent. Again, time and maturity are all good things in our line of work. The longer you're on television, the more the fans bond to you. In our job here in NXT, it's kind of different because the minute they bond to you, boom, you could be jettisoned off to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
What are the challenges for the ones that do get jettisoned off to Raw and SmackDown? Because now they're over at NXT, but now they have to get over all over again up on Raw or SmackDown. What are some of those challenges some of those superstars have to go through?
Yeah, look, it's sink or swim. And I'll say this, it's a great dose of reality for them. And I think it's NXT, and again, I liken it to not a bad thing, but I liken it to raising our children. We used to have a saying, Gymnot. Gymnot is like, you have to keep doing it over and over. You have to tell them over and over for certain things to become a habit, to become natural to them. Then as they begin to feel like they've got a hold of it and they're popular here in NXT, you go up there and you get into that big pond and you realize what a real big fish looks like. And you hear, the difference between when you go out and somebody like a Roman Reigns goes out, the difference when you go out and somebody like a Cody Rhodes goes out. And again, it's a good humbling process for them because once again, that hunger, that desire, that passion gets reinstilled in that individual. And now they have another goal to shoot for. So the one thing that's also fantastic is that we have a bunch of athletes down here that are goal oriented. So they're very coachable. That humility that they do have when they move to the main roster is something that's positive because that just drives them more to have that success.
Sean, you had previous stops before you came to WWE working with Vince because you worked with guys like Bob Geigel and Vern Gagne and Bill Watts and Joe Blanchard. So how much of your style of leadership and booking came from previous stops in your career?
Well, I will say this. I was fortunate to be around a lot of fantastic, not just promoters, but also, again, I look back at the DiBiases, the Rock and Roll Express, Macho Man Randy Savage, Tully and Arn, some of the great people that I was, so fortunate to not just be in the ring with, but be in a locker room with, Jake Roberts, guys that just had so many different ways of looking at the business and different psychology. So look, I think all of those kind of, form the person that you become. But ultimately, you have to, again, go with your instincts. And I always try to, what Hunter and I both do, we talk about it all the time, the fan in us, what it is that we want to see. And that's the thing that I think I'm most proud of is that I've never stopped being a wrestling fan. I feel like, again, I'm 59 years old, but that I've got the mind of a 12-year-old still. And I think sometimes, that's a huge advantage for me from a wrestling fan standpoint because I still want it to be fun. I like it to be enjoyable. I recognize that they're very, you've got different camps. And again, well, this doesn't need to be real. I don't know. I just never understood that there was a real version of what it is we do. I'll be damned if I've ever seen it. But it's sports entertainment, and there's something for everybody. And I think that's what I enjoy a lot about NXT is that's something that we're beginning to tap into now as well. It's not just kind of one genre. It doesn't have one niche. It's got a lot of things for everybody because, again, that's what we're trying to create for, the main roster and for, future stars on Raw and SmackDown. If you can have another Cody Rhodes, great. If you can have another Drew McIntyre, fantastic. you know, a New Day, you know, the Street Profits. There's a number of different aspects to this job that you've got to try to get your fingers into. And that's something that I feel like in NXT, we're having that variety now that I think maybe wasn't there in the past.
You mentioned October 1st in Chicago, CM Punk will be on that show. We see on social media, he's around your roster a bunch. What does CM Punk mean to NXT as sort of a player coach right now?
Well, look, the fact that he supports us is huge. And I think the great thing is he's, you know, like a lot of us do, he's come to a point in his career where he recognizes, you know, just how great this job has been and how great this industry has been to him. And you do, you begin then to learn that you'd like to pass that on. And so, look, when he comes down, he's always very supportive. He's helpful. What I appreciate most about him is that he always checks with our coaches, checks with me. Again, making sure that we're all on a unified front and pushing the same agenda or same direction. And I think that's something you can never beat a guy that is right now in this moment, a living, breathing, you know, global superstar like CM Punk, coming back and interacting with your young talent, because he's everything they want to be. So that's always going to be a positive, because they see me every day. I am so not special around here, it doesn't even matter. And again, so it's very, you know, beneficial for us when a CM Punk or a Cody Rhodes or a Drew McIntyre or a Seth Rollins comes down here and visits us, because now they can talk to the guys that are firsthand doing it and letting them know what it is they need to experience the same kind of success.
During your career, you were known as the best in-ring performer. Who do you think has that mantle today?
You know, look, I will say I think Seth is a fantastic performer. And that, right now, that's me just, you know, off the top of my head picking one. But I think he's a guy that just has unbelievable talent. AJ Styles is still a guy that I think is fantastic as well. So I don't know. Again, the more I would sit here and think about it, there are probably, you know, other guys I would come up with. But I will say right now, for me, for my kind of style and what I enjoy out of matches, I think AJ and Seth are rocking pretty good right now, if you ask me.
All right, Sean, fact or fiction, NXT fans, the NXT universe, are the best fans in WWE.
Well, it's fact for us down here in NXT for sure.
they are hot for everything, Sean. They are hot for everything. It's like it could be anybody coming to the ring and people are popped for it. That's got to make you feel good that no matter what, people are into the product.
It really does. And look, again, I go back to, because I think they understand the place where it's coming from. It really is. It's about excitement. It's about passion. It really is entertainment and having fun. That is what we want. We are not, you know, this is the WWE. This is NXT. You may not like the catchphrase of putting smiles on faces, but that is what we want to do. We are not, you know, I am certainly not trying to, you know, solve the world's problems by any stretch of NXT with our storylines. We're just trying to create for you an entertainment, episodic, exciting, you know, wrestling television show. And I think that's what we're doing. So our fans here in Orlando are just the absolute best. And I do know for a fact, when we get out there to Chicago and St. Louis on the 8th, they're going to be rabid. And it's going to be a blast for our talent to be able to go out there and perform in front of, again, seriously, when you're talking about Chicago and St. Louis, you're talking about two unbelievable historic wrestling towns. And for our talent, it's going to be like a dream come true to come out and be able to perform for those people.
Which end of the spectrum is more absurd, you running things or Triple H running things, if you look back 20 years ago?
Easily me. He's, you know, he's at least everybody felt like he was responsible. Me, I don't know. Me running anything is just absolutely crazy. I couldn't say that for job security by any stretch, but I just would have never. I can remember swearing that I would never, I'd never wear sleeves, I'd never wear long pants, I'd never wear a headset, and you know, darn near all of that stuff is attached to me now all the time. So I just wouldn't believe that in a million years I'd be sitting in this position.
Well, Sean, that congratulations on all the success so far. We're looking forward to it again. NXT heading to Chicago to kick off being on the CW on October 1st. Tickets are on sale now, so go check out NXT in Chicago or in St. Louis the week after on October 8th. Again, tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster. Thanks so much, HBK.
You bet, guys. Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for helping us out with all this. We appreciate it.
Again, big thank you to HBK for jumping on with us. That was a very enjoyable interview. He's, for him to be somebody who he thought he would never be in the position he is and doing such a good job at NXT, I'm hoping that the connection between him and Triple H will help lead to some of these kids and performers going from NXT to WWE to make it a smoother transition, because that hasn't always been the case. But, you know, I'm hoping that can really help a lot of these talent, because you have such a great relationship between who's running creative in WWE on Raw and SmackDown and who's running creative on NXT.
Also, the idea that Ethan Page is the NXT champion. Here's a guy that came from AEW undermined, you know, pushed off to ROH or pushed off on Rampage or Collision. You know, very rarely was wrestling. And he goes right to NXT, sonically becomes the NXT champion. We've always known that he can go. We always know that he's just a strong veteran. But, you know, guys, it's that mixture for NXT, that mixture of here's some young green talent, here's some young talent that's on the come, and then here's some veterans. Like, we had no use for the chairman, right? That guy.
Sean Spears.
Like, yeah, no use for him. I mean, Ethan Page, AEW had no use for him, but look what's happened. They put them on the main stage working with young talent, and that's just a good blend, really good blend.
To me, the big takeaway, like, as they mentioned in their Hall of Fame speech to DX, like, the two guys that got so many kids in trouble for doing crotch chops are now the ones in charge of an entire multi-billion-dollar company. Like, it's still insane to see that those two, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, are the top of the food chain right now.
Well, and still getting Joel Embiid in trouble for crotch chops. Joel, yeah. You know, so we're still a tradition unlike any other.
Right.
People getting in trouble for crotch chops. All right, what do we got at number two this week, Brian?
All right, we talked to Sean about free agents, and there might be some headed WWE's way. Rumors this week the Lucha Bros are WWE bound. Penta took to Twitter to say, "My present is AEW. His deal reportedly up August 31st. Also reports WWE very interested in Ricky Starks, whose deal will expire soon. We've not seen him on AEW television since March 30th. So let's rank them. Who will have the most success in the WWE among Rey Fénix, Penta, and Ricky Starks?"
I think my number one is Penta, just because he has had a lot of success as a singles performer. And I don't know, maybe they, I mean, I'm guessing him and Ray come in as a tag team, but given Ray's issues of staying healthy, which pains me to say as a huge Rey Fénix fan, I think Penta would probably be in line to have the potential most success. I hope the best for Ricky Starks, but I don't know. I see him being a guy that can easily get lost in the shuffle over in WWE. Whereas Penta and Ray, I think they could stand out just a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that the way we have it listed here on YouTube is the right order, quite frankly. Look, I like Penta. You mentioned Fénix, but I like Penta. You know, when he's wrestles in singles on AEW, man, the charisma just oozes out of that guy. The slow walk, and of course, taking off the glove and throwing at people. But just the idea that he can wrestle too. So there is personality and there is wrestling ability. Ricky Starks, can I just tell you, just between the three of us, I'm tired of the Ricky Starks story.
Whoa,
I'm tired of it. Mm-hmm. because from what we understand, they said, "Hey, we have creative for you," and he turned it down. It's like, so who are you? Right? I mean, they're offering you TV time, which is apparently very difficult in AEW to get TV time, and you turned it down. So, like, look, you've been tag team champion before. You've been in some really high-profile matches, and so now you're turning stuff down because you think you're better than that? They got you from the NWA, right? And I like Ricky Starks. But I'm tired of the story of will he, won't he. If he goes to the WWE, it probably is with NXT first. But then you got to tone down that Rock stuff.
Right. That's the thing that would work against him. Like, we hear a lot of, like, oh, he's Rock light. If the actual Rock is around like he has been, not a good look for Ricky Starks. If you see, you know, both of them on the same show, because those two look a little bit different in terms of physiques.
Oh, yeah. And my guess is Ray, I can't imagine they put Rey or Penta in NXT. Like, those guys are going straight to the roster. And they don't do that with many guys.
Right.
I was trying to think. I mean, AJ is one of the very few. Like, even – because even, like, Sammy and KO and guys Nakamura. That had a lot of experience, Nakamura, they all had to go to NXT. There's no way they can put Phoenix and Penta. They can't. Nope. Those guys are main roster. There's no way. I really don't think that they would go to WWE if they had to waste 6 months in NXT.
That's fair, but I just feel like they've done it so much. And to me, like, looking at these three, like, they're all mid-carders in WWE. Like, we'll see some great matches, we'll see some moments, but, like, do you see any of them sniffing the main event scene?
I mean, maybe if you get something hot going in terms of, like, WrestleMania or something, because SummerSlam's going to be two nights here too, right? Like,
right.
The only potential is Phoenix and Penta in some sort of hot tag team feud where that ends up main eventing one of those nights. But that would be about the only thing I could see. Like, I don't see Ricky Starks WWE champion.
No.
Absolutely not. That I mean, if anything, his ceiling when he first comes in is NXT, unless he's able to completely do a 180 from what I think that he is. He's good. We saw him in AEW. You know he's good. But just the drama along with it, they're going to have to control the promos. You know what tore his ass with AEW is that promo he did with Adam Copeland.
Yeah.
Because Edge is like, wait a minute, man. All the things I've done, what are you talking about? Like, you're trying to crack on me? He's like, yeah, go ahead and just do your rock thing and just like... You know, then Ricky Starks is mouthing back at him. It's like there's maybe some heat there. I don't know. But just I think that was the beginning of the end for Ricky Starks. I just think I want him to just if he goes to WWE, just be the best he can be. But he's not a guy that is a main roster guy to me in that company. Not at this point in time. But Phoenix and Penta. So if they're main roster, Gabe, that means Raw, right? Raw, because I mean, you've got you have two Latino factions that's happening.
Okay,
don't you?
That is Triple H booking 101. Like, oh, you're Latino, also great. You're with these guys.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they be attacking?
You've got Legado del Fantasma on SmackDown, and I guess where's the LWO?
I think they're on Raw.
They're on SmackDown.
They are. You sure?
Yes. Is Rey Mysterio on SmackDown?
I think Rey's on Raw. That's why Dom beat him recently. But I might be reading too much into where everyone actually is.
Sorry, man. Just too many mid-cards. I can't keep up with all the mid-cards.
You know those guys are ending up either in Indian LWO or with Garza and the other guys.
That's going to piss you off because you know they're better than that.
Yes!
Yeah, so you, I'm just telling you, like, as a tag team, you're right. Like, they should be on Raw... Away from all the El Fantasma, away from the Indo, they should have nothing to do with either one of those. They should just be a terrific tag team.
They should be the Lucha Bros.
They should have classics against DIY on whatever.
Oh yeah,
wherever. But you know,
but that's the example. Like DIY, who are perfect in that role, could be great tag teams. We're gonna see it with Motor City Machine Guns. DIY, they dropped the belts before the big SummerSlam show. Like they don't even get to sniff the show. They drop the belts to two guys that aren't even really tag champs right now. Like, them and tag team wrestling booking in WWE right now, it doesn't really go together.
Yeah, and I'm guessing Sammy and Jay are getting traded to SmackDown?
Probably, just to be involved in the Bloodline.
Well, because, I mean, that was the mystery, right? Backstage with Adam Pearce is, oh, both of them, I want to have this finalized. So I assumed when he said, oh, both of them.
Right.
I mean, by the way, I mean, Nick, what do we do? You're trading, I mean, what are we doing, Adam Pearce? You're trading away Jay and Sammy? I mean, Randy's good and all, but like, come on. That's Adam Pearce. I mean, for a guy who can't get control of his own show and just has people, you know, getting, you know, internal bruising and cracked ribs from tsunamis week after week, and then you're making bad trades like this, he's going to give a run to worst GM in all of sports.
Not great.
I need a drink. Glasses on, glasses off. Glasses on, glasses off. Glasses on.
The character turn.
You know what should happen if they're not going to be a tag team? It'd be great for those two to be singles and different on different brands, Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what needs to happen? You know what needs to happen? Rey Mysterio needs to retire so he can get out of the way so Phoenix can be that guy. That's the problem. The reason why some of these masked luchadors don't get over enough, because Rey's still there, because everyone compares it to Rey.
Right.
And Rey's great. But until Rey steps down, they've had like quality, top-level Mexican talent that wrestled in CMLL, other places. But everyone is compared to Rey because Rey's still so good, even at his advanced age.
Well, Dragon Lee, like, I had to look up if he's hurt. I don't think he is. Like, remember, they started pushing him up when they called him up, and now he's just a guy.
See?
I mean, Phoenix going over Rey Mysterio? I'd sign up for it.
Loser of the fall must leave WWE?
Sure.
And then Rey, the Hall of
Famer? Must unmask. Leave WWE.
Yeah, right.
Penta, like, I've never actually seen it, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews about him as Impact World Champ.
Who's that?
Penta.
Oh, yes. I love the idea of Rey Mysterio being unmasked, and then the fans like, yep, I've seen that.
Yeah,
yep. Hootie hoo, I've seen that. WCW.
Yeah. What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
All right. John Cena on Jimmy Kimmel Live was talking about the success of movies like Iron Claw and The Wrestler. He says it opens the door for more movies of its kind. So, which wrestling story would make a good movie?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Who killed WCW?
Jeff Goldblum was hosting that, though.
Okay.
Okay, then. Who killed WCW the movie, right? Like, we haven't seen enough iterations of that. Let's go ahead and just make it into a Hollywood picture and send it off. But the problem with The Wrestler and Iron Claw, like, they were made pretty significantly apart. It's not like, oh, The Wrestler came out in 2018. Like, The Wrestler was, like, 15 years ago at this point, right? And, you know, if you space them out, sure. I don't know. I mean, obviously, and the Von Erich story is just so incredibly depressing. They even took out one of the brothers' deaths because it would have been seemed too unrealistic in the movie, which is just, again, just horrific.
It was a feel-good holiday story. You know, it came around on the holidays.
Gunshot to the head. That's a really good holiday story. So much so you can't put Chris Von Erich on there. Hey, he died too. What happened there? They cut him off the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre the Giant is always a fascinating one. He's a larger than life character. Again, would be tough to replicate because of who Andre was. But that was the first one that came to mind, is Andre the movie.
Andre the movie. Do we need to know any more about the Benoit saga, or are we good there?
I don't know if I want to see a cinematic version of that.
Right.
Why not? I mean, it's one of the craziest things, along with Bruiser Brody's death, being stabbed by Invader One, allegedly, one of the masked wrestlers in World Wrestling Council, being killed in the shower. Hell of a time. Boy, you want to get killed in the shower. You wrestled, killed in the shower. Oh, someone killed you in the shower. I mean, that's tough. That story still, some things are untold.
See, to me, like, when I think about it, it has to be one of those stories that can grab the non-wrestling fan. Like, I remember when seeing Iron Claw, there were just random little old ladies there who probably were like, hey, it's the movie we're watching this week. The Benoit thing, I feel like there's just the one moment. There's not anything around that. What about Vince? Like, I feel like there's the business side, the dealing with his dad, and then the stuff at the end. So you have your villain, and then you have the fall. Feel like there's something there.
So we're still waiting for that, right? We're still – I know that's on the shelf someplace. Is it Netflix?
Netflix at it, yeah.
But
I thought that was a documentary, wasn't it? Wasn't that like a Bill Simmons Netflix documentary?
Yeah, but had Vince's hand in it. So it's, you know, I believe propaganda is the word.
I believe that is would be the correct usage of the word propaganda. Yes, that is correct.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that is correct. And after everything happened, Netflix probably went, oh, wait, we can't hear this now. Yeah. We're going to put this on the shelf.
Yeah.
It's like they could still tell. I mean, they can just edit. I mean, there's more. We got to wait for this lawsuit, first of all, which you know, right. Let's get that.
Here's the problem with wrestling movies is they're all inherently sad.
Yeah.
Like, that's just they're, I mean, even the two that we mentioned, like they tried to put a spin on it at the end. Right. But like, man, that family went through a lot. The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, which was a fantastic movie. It was a great movie. I loved it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really sad. Like, you know, your heart is breaking the entire time Ram Robinson, I believe, was the character's name that Ricky was playing. Ram Jam was his right. rule.
Like, yeah.
It's just so inherently sad. And I think that's why you can't just go, oh, this wrestling movie was great, let's keep mass producing them. You have to spread them out this long because they're not heartwarming stories.
Well, just put it this way. The ones that are not heartwarming, we don't want to know about. Do you want a movie about Diamond Dallas Page? No. For instance, right? He started in a business in his 30s.
Oh, it's a great story.
Became WCW champion, was in WWE. Then after that, was able to get his body right by doing DDP yoga. And now he's helping rehab Jake Roberts, Scott Hall at the time. So if you want a heartwarming story, here's a guy here that couldn't find his own way, find his way in the business, and now helping others. You could do that, but well, who's going to watch that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the closest you could come is like if you want to do a redemption arc, I mean, would that be Dusty? For as low as Dusty had to, you know, as low as Dusty kind of, you know, went down before bouncing back and becoming everything he was at NXT. I mean, obviously, and then you have Cody, and that's an interesting arc. You could maybe do something on the Rhodes family.
Something also sad. Do you want to do a Jeff and Matt Hardy story?
Man, but is there enough other stuff there? And like, I don't know. I mean, there might be some, you know, blowing up of stuff, but maybe Dwayne does one on himself.
Well, so I was about to say, I could see them trying to do like a, you know, Avengers level movie series on the Bloodline, because, you know, you start with, you know, the High Chief Peter Maivia, and you have Rocky Johnson, and then you have Dwayne and Roman. Like, you have all these different characters within the Bloodline. You could do
Bryan Danielson. Like, you know, after his career is over, what is he really going through? What surgeries did he really go through? Like, all the things he went through to be able to get to where he is right now.
See, I don't know. To me, I think of the stuff that's going to grab someone that, like, wrestling is almost secondary. Like, if you go into Iron Claw, there's a part where you might not even know it's a wrestling movie. Like, it's just a sad family thing. Like, Ultimate Warrior?
Oh, God.
But, that like, guy. The whole tragedy and the whole, like, the Monday promo and then, like, passing away on Tuesday and dealing with some of that stuff.
That's on WWE. You didn't see how red that guy was, how hot he was in that suit. Did you take his blood pressure beforehand? My God, he looked like he was on death's door right there in the ring. Horrible. You know what's as compelling as Aaron Rodgers in this book that's coming out because of Aaron Rodgers and his family and everything else? Like, I'd like to know more about CM Punk before he got into wrestling. This whole, like, this disconnect he had with his family, it reminds me of Aaron Rodgers because I just saw him interviewed on Boomer and Geo talking about his grandfather and how strange Aaron is to his family. I wonder, like, what is going on with CM Punk from that standpoint? Then the rest of it, we know the drama, but the family part of CM Punk, what's up with that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, a CM Punk movie, there would not be lacking drama.
Right.
There would be no lack of drama or storylines in a CM Punk movie. That's for sure.
I just hope Larry could play Larry.
I don't know if you could get anybody else to play Larry.
Yeah, that's fair.
Larry's one of one.
There's no dog that ugly that could be able to replicate. But now let's talk about his dog. I know he gets very sensitive about that. Never mind.
He's about buy a Larry Best in the World shirt, and you know it'll be me.
Make up for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get him. I don't want to get. He's about 30 minutes from me, so I don't want to get him pissed. So I don't want to upset him. But I mean, those are just a few guys. But it's what you said, Gabe. A lot of these stories, even though we're attracted to watching wrestling because it's an art form, a lot of it ends in sadness. Yeah. Bad news, like deaths, and you know, just kind of like our music artists that we've seen over the past. Like, why did the young die? You know, why are they gone so soon? Same thing with wrestlers. Same way. Why are you dead in your 20s or 30s? A lot of tragedy over the years.
Yeah, but those would be the ones that I think would kind of grab and captivate the audience.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got? News and notes this week, Brian?
All right. The world of AEW reports out this week, AEW decision makers have begun scouting locations in Australia for a 2025 show. AEW will open 2025 in Japan for Wrestle Dynasty. That'll be taking place January 5th at the Tokyo Dome.
Not shocking, man. Like, again, that's another wrestling star market that when – and it's a huge continent, right? Like, you've got a number of – yes, WWE just went there. there's a lot of other places in Australia you can go and draw a crowd and have a good show. This makes a ton of sense. That how you grow your company, look at any sport. What is everybody, every other sport trying to do? They're trying to grow their brand and they're trying to grow their games internationally. It's why the NFL does it. It's why MLB does it. Why NHL does it. Every company, every wrestling thing does it. And that's what the WWE is doing. Not shocking that AEW would want to do the same.
Yeah, this whole talk on wrestling, as far as the internet is concerned, about how AEW is dying, they're not dying. As a matter of fact, I would imagine pretty soon here we're going to hear a whole new deal for AEW from a television standpoint, and they're going to stick with Warner Brothers, Discovery, and they should be fine. Because here's why. If they were having troubles financially or troubles being able to sustain their company, then they wouldn't be talking about trying to have a show where the Texas Rangers play or going to Australia and all that, because you wouldn't have those big shows. Although, because you would downsize, right? Kind of like we've seen in a Collision in Arlington, the little stadium that they've been doing mm-hmm. stuff in.
If yeah, like a 1,000 seat stadium. The crowds have been good there in Collision.
Yeah. So if you were in trouble, you wouldn't be talking about Australia. You wouldn't be talking about places like going to the UK, going to Cardiff, Wales, and then London. Yeah. I think they're doing just fine.
They also will be on the front of the Fulham Women's Soccer Club jerseys. AEW right across their chest.
I saw that. They're fine.
Good marketing.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
AEW and, locker room drama, always a thing. Came out last week. Britt Baker reportedly suspended a couple weeks due to an MJF incident. Well, MJF, in an interview with Cultaholic, said the whole thing doesn't pass the smell test and, quote, almost everything that was written didn't happen.
If someone needs to go to WWE, it'd probably be Britt Baker. I've heard too many stories, guys, about Britt Baker behind the scenes, and they're not all positive. And so all we do is just watch what she does in the ring and how this all works with Mercedes Moné and how she's put on some good matches over the years. But behind the scenes, there's some issues there with Britt Baker. And I don't know where this comes from, why she has a hard time getting along with some of the women that's in that company, or MJF in this case, but that's not a good mix from what I understand.
No, I mean, the list is long. People she's had confrontations with at this point, that have been reported on. So, yes, at some point, you got to believe the through line, and you got to believe the common denominator there, which is Britt Baker.
Some would say, Brian, that they're not sure who the heel is in this matchup coming up on the 25th.
Yeah, I think that's right. But she's still so over with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I could turn a blind eye to it, but I can't stop hearing it. People keep telling me out of AEW locker rooms, like, that there's been some problems, multiple problems, and they've been reported on. So if anyone needs a fresh coat of paint, I think it would be her. Probably get out of that locker room at some point.
Some sad news in the wrestling world last week. Kevin Sullivan passing away at the age of 74. Sullivan, a major rival for big-time faces such as Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, and the Road Warriors. Also one of the key creative members of WCW.
Gabe, any memories of Kevin Sullivan, the Games Master? The Taskmaster? The Mystic?
The Taskmaster? No. Yeah. I just kind of knew him more at that point in my life, again, as a creative member of WCW and being around that.
So Kevin Sullivan was just a unique figure. And I'll just say what I said on Busted Open to our audience, that for someone who's 5'8", he had to do a lot of things to be able to get himself over. Because even though he was built strong, right, he said, I had to do something different. Because I'm taking on Black Jack Mulligan, who's 6'5". I'm taking on Dusty Rhodes, who's 6'2". So I had to do other things. So Kevin Sullivan, for our young audience, was a guy that wrestled well in San Francisco. He wrestled in Hawaii. He wrestled in the Carolinas, all over the country. But he turned to, like, this devil worship gimmick, and he had to get himself over because just Kevin Sullivan, just the guy from Boston, wasn't going to work. So he painted his face. And he was talking about devil worship, and his promos are always off the wall and so strange. Kevin Sullivan was such a unique character, but as he would say himself, I had to be unique because of how short I was. So when he would take on opponents bigger than him, the thing that resonated with people is he's not the biggest, but he's the scariest. You know, any guy that's coming out there and he's got his eyes, before The Undertaker rolled the eyes back in his head, Kevin Sullivan rolled his eyes in the back of his head, right? before the blood would flow from Dusty Rhodes and everybody else, Kevin had the blood flowing. So he would scare people, and he would have, be in a faction with Maniac Mark Lewin and Abdul the Butcher, and people would scurry and run because even though he was small, they were like, this guy's in a devil worship. I don't know what's going on with him, but he carries a spike in his hand and he might stab me. So it's just, I just think that the aura of Kevin Sullivan will resonate a lot from people as far as his career is concerned.
And along those lines, not a WWE Hall of Famer. I hate when they do it after they pass away, but do you think he should be?
He should be. Yeah, absolutely. Because he was the brain behind a lot of the ideas in WCW. He knew how to get heat. He knew how to get massive heat. That's why it was always weird for him to have the pencil, because if you're just a 100% heel, can you book babyface? That's how, that was always my disagreement with WCW, right? Like, he knew how to get massive heat. And there's this one story real quick. So Florida's on his ass, where Brian is right now. Florida's on his ass. And by the way, I saw an interview recently. Kevin Sullivan said, you know, my act was good in Miami. My act was good in Jacksonville, but West Palm, it was too good for them. They never bought my act in West Palm because the fans were too smart. I got to send you that. It was pretty funny. Like, West Palm was like, wrestling? Oh, no, he's not really a devil worshiper. I'm leaving. That's what West Palm was.
Yeah, that sounds like West Palm. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's like, so Florida's on his ass, and they emanated from Tampa. And it's like, man, no one's going to the matches. No one's going to the matches. And Kevin Sullivan was in this battle with Blackjack Mulligan. He goes, how can we get people to come to the arena? I know. Dusty Rhodes is going to be there in a match. And Dusty's going to duck. And I'm going to come from across the ring with a spike. And I'm going to hit Jack Mulligan right in the chest. He wore a white shirt. Of course, if he wore a white shirt, the blood would come out. Now, it didn't really hit him with the spike, but he had to hit some kind of blood patch for the blood to go everywhere all across his white shirt. And then it was like, you know, the EMTs and doctors coming in like, oh, my God, he killed Blackjack Mulligan on TV. Oh, my God. And so, of course, the next weekend is sold out in Tampa because people wanted Jack Mulligan to get his revenge from being stabbed on TV by Kevin Sullivan. I'll send you that clip.
Simpler times back in the day.
On TV. Yes. Murder. Attempted murder.
Finally, in news and notes, Sean Ross Sapp says Randy Orton has confirmed to him he has signed a new 5-year extension with the WWE. Sources say the shift to guaranteed money is why a new deal was reached as opposed to just extending Orton's previous deal.
Not shocking. The guy's going to be wrestling forever. He still looks fantastic. He's going to be around for a very long time. He was never like, Randy Orton was never going to wrestle anywhere else. Feel very confident in saying that.
There's a number of people in that company who's like, I'll never wrestle anywhere else because I don't want to work that hard. And I'm not saying that Randy isn't. I'm just saying that they don't want to change styles, you know. Mm-hmm. And this matchup against Gunther is going to be great. I just love, I think I put it at GKW_wrestling. The second time around to see Randy Orton, how the fans have appreciated Randy. Singing his song. And even he's like, you're singing my song? Like, I was an asshole for a long time here. Right? But you can see the appreciation for Randy, which I think is really cool.
I will say I would love one more heel title run from Orton.
Oh, you'll get it.
Oh, okay. I mean, he's going to turn heel. I mean, he even teased it in that Sapp interview that, I mean, the reason why we know is because he was initially asked about the inevitable matchup with Cody Rhodes. He's like, hey, I got years. I just signed a new contract. I got a long time to figure that out. So, yeah, you're going to get a heel Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes, that's for sure. What did you boys have as your matches of the week?
Young Bucks against the Acclaimed. You might not have liked the finish, but, I mean, I'm a sucker, as you guys know, for good tag team wrestling. It was good to see the Young Bucks. Where have they been? They actually were wrestling against the Acclaimed. I thought that was a really good matchup. And I also liked the first match with Mercedes Moné against Hikaru Shida.
That was last night, Hangman and Lethal. I think we forget that Jay Lethal can go, but I enjoyed those two last night.
From last night, I had Cassidy versus O'Reilly versus Strong. The triple threat was really good.
Very good.
I really enjoyed it. It was really good. It's just a solid episode of Dynamite last night. I also enjoyed the Texas Bull Rope Thunder Rosa versus Deanna Purrazzo match.
Yep. Is that feud ever going to end?
I think that was it. I think that was the, I don't know how you go up from there, but I'll tell you what, like AEW's batting average on these like bull rope or, you know, belt matches, all these different, like you're getting strapped to your opponent matches. Yeah, they're batting average very high on those matches. Very, very high.
So yeah, I would agree with that. That's a really, really good match. Rosa and, by the way, the next thing is a cage match. If you go from regular match to bull rope match, then steel cage. Why not? Sheamus against Kaiser on Monday Night Raw. Is that this past Monday?
No, that was two Mondays ago.
God damn it. Sami Zayn against Bron Breakker, 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, that was... That probably had my favorite move of the week when Braun caught Sammy midair and turned it into a spine buster. That was pretty spectacular. I mean, really just.
What about the move outside? The throwing him, like launching him. Oh, he's
launching. Yeah, that was.
There's another angle of that, by the way. They didn't show on TV. Sammy retweeted talking about how much he loves wrestling, where I don't know how Sammy's still alive right now.
Well, like in that tweet, he talks about like the art of being able to avoid everything so you don't seriously get hurt. Like, man. Another man just launched you through the air. Like, I don't believe that Bron Breakker's aim with another human being is Tom Brady precise, right? Like, I do not believe that.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, that you get so much product, I get confused. There was was Escobar Andrade? Was that on SmackDown? Yeah,
that was on SmackDown on Friday, yes.
Very good. Very good matchup. If that matchup is in CMLL, they get 30 minutes and they tear the house down. But since it was on SmackDown, it was confined, but still very good.
I feel like Andrade gets no reaction, and they just let him go. And it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's good. And then they forget about him.
That's right. Andrade's pretty good. And then he, like, goes away for 2 weeks, and then they bring him back out. He puts on another great match. And, yeah, it's just kind of been – really, that's just the story of his professional wrestling career. If we're being honest, like no matter where he's been, that's just kind of, he wrestles every 3 weeks, wrestles a really good match. Everybody forgets about him. Rinse and repeat.
In baseball parlance, he would be an innings eater. Cause remember in AEW, right? Like, I think he was one of the first matches on the new Collision show. It's like, oh, here's another 20 minutes. Goes to WWE. It's gotta be 15 or more, man. He's like Sheamus. He's got to go 15 or more, man. Cause like the quick match doesn't work. He's just getting warmed up after 10.
If there's not a commercial break in the middle of his match, somebody screwed up somewhere.
Him on Twitter as the speed champ.
Right. Makes no sense. By the way, I love on the non-speed shows that they don't bring the champion. They're too embarrassed.
Yeah, right. Why isn't he coming out? Wouldn't that be good promotion for Speed? For him, this is what I was thinking. I'm like, well, I don't watch Speed, but I know he's the champ. Wouldn't this be a good time to be like, hey, catch him. He's the Speed champ Wednesday, you know, noon Eastern time on Twitter. Like, why? But
sounds like Gabe does watch a little. That's what I'm hearing there. Knowing when to find it.
I'm too busy. No, I'm too busy with Rampage.
That's right. Well, someone
I got too much. I'm too busy with Rampage. I can't take on Speed.
And in all honesty, let's just put this out here. So now that we've had the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels on, so you're going to have to start watching NXT, especially when it goes to CW. Do you have CW down there, South Florida?
Yeah, it's home of the ACC football.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's right up your alley, right? Uh-huh. Home of ACC football and Live Golf that's off an hour too early.
The Women of Wrestling company that I record every week, and I don't think I've ever watched more than 5 minutes of.
Yeah,
the one that AJ Lee used to be a part of. Yeah, she used to be a part of it. Now she's no longer a part of it.
Yeah, so I mean, so now you have to be watching this NXT. Now we talk to Sean. Now that he's a friend of the program. Look, if this man right here, if this man right here, Gabe Neitzel, is keeping us apprised of Rampage, and I got your TNA and your Rev Pro, you got to start watching NXT.
I watch the PLEs. Isn't that enough?
You only pick and choose. You don't watch the whole show.
I usually don't watch the main events because I'm not as into Ethan Page as you are, but I watch the rest of the show.
Solid veteran. Solid.
He waits until HBK's off the show to, you know, tell his true feelings of HBK's heavyweight champion currently. But
so, the rest is great. Just up until the main event. So it's a 2 hour show.
You're such
If you missed it earlier, we did have the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels on. Check it out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Comment, subscribe, make sure you check us out. on YouTube. Next week, we're going to be right back here. We're going to be previewing All In at Wembley Stadium, plus getting ready with everything else happening in the WWE. The one thing I can guarantee you is we talk about it next week right here on GKW.